Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
And I am Mike Lupica, MLB.com and New York Daily News. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. And we are here today to unpack a Super Bowl that was memorable, but not quite in the way that we thought it was going to be. I don't think anybody saw this as the kind of beatdown that we got last night from the Bucks and Tom Brady. And to me, there are two, obviously, dominant storylines, and then there's other things to talk about with this game. One, Tom Brady last night, in my opinion, produced one of the seminal victories for any athlete we've ever had in a team sport in this country. It ranks with anything that has ever happened. 43 years old, his seventh Super Bowl, and his first with Tampa Bay. On what is now his home field, and in a game, the Super Bowl, that has become his home office. And the other thing is, and it's as dominant a storyline as Brady, I have never seen a better defensive performance than I saw from the Bucks last night, who did to Patrick Mahomes what the Chiefs were hoping to do to Brady. And Mitch, I was saying to Tyler before we started today, and Bob, the Bucks turned Patrick Mahomes last night into Jared Goff.
Well, thanks, Mike, our new quarterback here in Detroit. You know, here's all you need to know about that. For all the magic that Tom Brady produced, the Bucs could have won the Super Bowl with 10 points. That's all you need to know. I love the fact that Brady did what he did. It's a magnificent story. He deserves an MVP because he is singularly responsible for building that team, bringing the people there. Everybody who scored a point for Tampa Bay last night wasn't on the team last year, including Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, and Ryan Succop, and of course Brady throwing to all of them. So he's responsible for everything there, the culture, the players, all of it. But the defense won that game last night because, as I say, they could have kicked four field goals and won the Super Bowl. They harassed Patrick Mahomes, who we're probably going to hear in the days to come how bad the toe was and all the rest. But I'm sorry, he did a lot of running around. He escaped a lot of tackles. He had nowhere to go.
Those are the two greatest incompletions, Mitch. Those are the two greatest incompletions I've ever seen.
Hit guys in the helmet as he was falling down.
The one where he was horizontal to the ground. He threw it, 30 yards and nearly completed?
I'm sure if somebody could do a factual analysis, he did more running in that game behind the line of scrimmage than he's ever done in any game he's played.
I mean, Mitch, they have annotated officially, unofficially official, he ran over 500 yards last night in his...
backwards.
500.
And sideways.
I said, I got to repeat that, folks. And listen, everywhere across America, continental USA, ships at sea, what I just said, I'm going to repeat. He ran 500 yards. That's running around. That's how much they chased him. This is the first time in his career as a professional that he did not produce a touchdown. Number one, first time.
Right.
So that just start with that. That would have been what would be the Vegas, you know, option on that one before
the game.
I
didn't think anybody could do to Patrick Mahomes what they did, Mitch. I didn't think that there were so many possible storylines. We all kind of thought that the spread was right and that the Chiefs might win by a touchdown, but nobody thought that this defense could turn that kid into the kind of on the run, you know, moving out of the pocket, inept quarterback that he did. And it just shows you that as great as quarterbacks are, if you can't protect them, then they can look like Patrick Mahomes did last night.
And that's a key because of the offensive line injuries. When they write the story of this game, will be big. The Patrick Mahomes that people got used to seeing throughout the course of his career, he was missing two key building blocks of the line that protected him. Now, I know everything about next guy up and all the rest, but when you got great guys and you go to good guys, and then you're playing a great defense, that's going to produce what we did. And Bobby, one other point. They made a decision early in that game that won them the game. And that was, we're going to cover Tyreek Hill with two guys. We're going to cover Travis Kelce with two guys. And you can go anywhere else you want. And there was no place else to go. And that's how they won that game.
And Mitch, this reminded me in so many ways of another Super Bowl in which Brady played, okay? And it was the one when the Giants beat Brady and that amazing Patriots offense, 17-14. They held him to two touchdowns that day. And Eli Manning ended up with the MVP award, okay? Because he took the Giants down the field at the end. But the Giants' defense was the MVP of that game, right, and particularly right. The guys doing the pass rushing, and that's exactly what happened last night. You could have picked six guys on that defense, and that's Mitch and Bob, that's probably Lowe, who had the game of their lives last night.
No, you're right. And when the game was over, we were waiting for the MVP, and it said, there's no MVP here. There's their defense. That's the MVP. I said that. I've got witnesses. So I said that. it makes sense. The converse is true as well, Mitch, is that, Brady had the luxury of, he was sacked once and there was one bad snap that resulted in a terrible loss. It wasn't his fault. And other than that, Brady was comfortable. He was not made to be made, not being made uncomfortable as Mahomes was and as Brady was, as Mike alluded to in that Super Bowl loss to the Giants. Now I have a question. There was a lot made about the fact where they went with the two deep safeties all night long. They were, keep them in front of you, keep them in front of you. Is this rocket science? I'm just asking. Is this the kryptonite that everybody was waiting for? I'm just asking. I'm not going to claim to be
okay.
A football nerd.
I have a response to that. It is if you continue to play as if those guys aren't there, which is what Kansas City did. They kept saying, "Well, we're going to beat you the way that we beat everybody else." They never ran the ball, and except when Patrick Mahomes scrambled and ran. I mean, they do have a great running back and a couple of them. And they never adjusted. And I'm going to do a parting shot on what happened with Britt Reid and all the rest of it. I know that Andy Reid said that I wasn't distracted. We had our game plan in since last week. But he's really good at adjusting, generally, at halftime. That's one of the things. The Chiefs don't blow everybody out from the beginning. That's not their modus operandi. They have to come back sometime in games and all that. They didn't make any adjustments. They kept trying to do what they always do. They kept trying to find Tyreek Hill or find Travis Kelce and really didn't run with Edwards-Helaire. And they could have. I just think if Tampa Bay says this is the defense we're going to play, then you have to say, okay, this is the offense we're going to play against you. So, yeah, it works as long as they keep feeding into it. Okay. And they only rushed four guys most of the night. I mean, they didn't send the house. It was the same four guys
like
going over and over, chasing
like
them backwards.
Just like the Giants in that game. When you can put that kind of pressure on the quarterback without blitzing, it gives you a tremendous advantage. And by the way, all due respect to Andy Reid, okay? Because everybody's been carrying him around the room on their shoulders since the last Super Bowl. Okay, it's hard, but it takes a couple of guys, okay? But he's now coached in three Super Bowls, okay? And only looked like an offensive genius in one of them. Okay, this Andy Reid last night, the Andy Reid who didn't make adjustments, the Andy Reid who had a despite the greatness of the Bucs defense, had a head-scratching offensive play. That's the one we saw when he was coaching against Brady in a Super Bowl one time when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. And so the Andy Reid offensive genius narrative took a hit last night. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, no question. When you lose, that's what happened, but... I really think that Tampa Bay became a team that just got better and better and better. And I think one of the reasons that people did not pick them to win the Super Bowl is just a mental thing that you think of the Chiefs as great, which they were. Let's not take that away from them. They had a great season. They were 15-1 going into the playoffs and then won their two playoff games going to the Super Bowl. And so you just assume great beats, good, very good, really good, terribly good, but they were getting better all the time. And Brady, I hate to, because it was such a cliche, we haven't played our best football yet, but they played it when they had to.
Yep. Right.
And they just kept improving every single game. Mike and Bob, when we predicted them going into the postseason, that was only about a month ago. I remember we all said, do we really buy these guys? I mean, aren't they going to have their comeuppance once they get into the playoffs? Let me just finish this point. The bigger point about what they did last night was what they did in the 3 weeks leading up. They went in as a wild card team and beat three MVP quarterbacks en route to winning the Super Bowl, which has never been done before, and as a wild card, and always, you know, taking them on in their home stadiums, and until they got to the Super Bowl where they got to play in a home stadium. So we should have, in hindsight, seen that they were the team that was getting better, while the Chiefs were just a team that was surviving with, you know, the way that they, and you could even make an argument going backwards a little bit, having to struggle the way that they did in their last few games.
Well, we commented, everybody, and I say we, I mean everybody that was analyzing it all over, was centered on the idea that the Chiefs were winning close games, and we're trying to figure out if that's a good thing or a bad thing, necessarily. You know, that, okay, win the close games. I talked about how the analogy with baseball, you always salute a team when they win a great percentage of their one or two run games. And in this case, when you're winning a one touchdown possession game time and again, there must be something good to be said about that. But you wonder about that. So there's that. Now, let me just flip this over as you go back where you were going, Mitch. Since that loss that the Bucs had to the Chiefs, here are the Buccaneers point totals. 26, 31, 47, 44, 31, 30, 31, 31. That's an average of 33.7 points per game. That's what they've been doing for 8 weeks.
Yeah, this idea of you know, it was like a tsunami that was forming, and we kind of lost sight of it because you are blinded sometimes by the light of Patrick. By the way, this is a good year to be a wild card team and playing big games on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It just was. I mean, and if you were ever going to have to play all those road games, and I mean the Giants did it before when they won their second Super Bowl. This was the year to do it. Okay, but let's shift this slightly before we do. I want to remind everybody that we're sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Let's talk about Mr. Brady, because, you know, I'm aware that other great team athletes have won more than Tom Brady has. Okay. Bill Russell won more. Joe DiMaggio won more. Okay. I get all that. But Brady's more feels like more now because of the way he has done it at this age, okay? And we've talked about this before. Nothing like this will ever happen again in American sports. I don't care. Baseball, football, basketball, I don't care. No one will win to this extent. He won his first Super Bowl 19 years ago. The Bucs won their one and only Super Bowl 18 years ago. Now they win one together. And you know who thought he was capable of this? He did. Okay, he did. Maybe the Bucs ownership did because they invested $50 million in him. Maybe Bruce Arians did. But I don't think that anybody thought that at his age, they would get this level of performance. We talked about this last week, okay? This is what it would have been like if Michael had gone right from the Bulls to somebody else and won there. But Brady is you can't stress this enough. He's 43 years old. Tony Romo is 3 years younger than Tom Brady. The guy talking about Brady last night is 3 years younger than Tom Brady. Sometimes you have to take a step back. And that is why whatever the GOAT club is, he's the GOAT of those guys. And he didn't have to be his best last night, but you don't have to be at your best in the big game. You have to do what he did last night.
Mike, one reason why he went, I'm sure. We know this, and maybe the number one reason why he went where he went was the improvement in weaponry, the surrounding.
It's the most weapons he's ever had.
And by the way, I want to nominate Best Supporting Actor Award for the playoffs for this team, Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette was a very important ingredient last night, again, helping him just establish that they could go
Bowles,
play action.
We'll get to Todd. We haven't talked about Todd Bowles yet.
All right. And by the way, I want to put what you're in perspective, further perspective. We've always, there's so many ways to put what Brady is accomplishing in perspective. But there's a wonderful tweet that I'm poaching today. Here are some of the sponsors in the broadcast and when he won his first Super Bowl. You ready? AOL, Blockbuster, Radio Shack, Circuit City, Comp USA, Sears, and Yahoo.
That's great. That's great.
Who even thought to do, who even thought to go look at that stuff,
isn't
by
that
the way?
Great?
That, that's astounding. Yeah, but that's a really, really good way of looking at it. Wow. Okay.
That trumps my Tony Romo stat.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Listen, this accomplishment, I agree with you, Mike, stands on its own because of the switch of teams. It's obvious, but it needs to be stated. A lot of guys get lucky by being with, and some of the guys that you mentioned, you know, Bill Russell. And, you know, if Bill Russell got traded in the middle of his career, he wouldn't have as many NBA championships. He got to stay with the Celtics his whole career, and that was the best organization going with the best coach and the best players. Okay, that happened with Tom Brady for much of his career with the New England Patriots. However much he was a part of it, he clearly had a great coach alongside of him, and they had great players, and they did what they needed to do to win Super Bowls. They had a great system. To go to a 7-9 team, you remember, they weren't on the verge. Nobody was looking at Tampa Bay as like, man, they are just like one great player away. Look how far they got in the playoffs. If they could just get, they were a losing team.
Yeah,
they were a losing
Mitch,
team.
Can I just throw one thing in? Because we talked about it at the time when he signed with Tampa Bay. And I can go look it up. But I think my math is right. I took a closer look at them after he went there. And with Jameis Winston throwing as many touchdowns as he did interceptions last year, I believe seven of their losses last year. I'm not saying that they were a budding powerhouse. I'm saying that Brady probably that were by 7 points or less. They lost a ton of close games last year. And this guy probably took his own deep dive into what they actually had.
Well, right. But there's a difference between what you have and what you do with what you have. And the, you know, I live in a city where the 7-9 season is considered normal and close games are lost all the time. And it has to do with the culture of winning and the expectation of winning. And that's why they lose around here in Detroit, because they've never won. And he was able to see with a 7-9 team, and forget just the 7-9 in that last year, they had one winning season since 2000, I don't know, 12 or something like that. It was in 2016. So it was 4 years ago that they had a winning season, and one winning season in the last eight. They are a losing franchise. And he went down there with the tools that they had and liking the coach who was there and created a culture for everybody else who was there, and created a culture by getting guys to join him. And sure enough, the guys who joined him, Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown, ended up scoring three of the four touchdowns. And I don't think Leonard Fournette would have gone there if Brady wasn't there. So you can throw all four of the touchdowns that they scored in there. And maybe Ryan Succop wouldn't have gone there either, and they wouldn't have the field goal. I mean, none of those guys were on the team. He brings them in, and remember, if you go back and listen to our Sports Reporters podcast, early in the season, we were wondering if that thing was going to gel down there, if he and Arians were going to have clashes. There were some sniping in the media a little bit back and forth, and then they hit that skid in November, and at one point we're 7-5, and managed the this has been said before, it's not an original observation, but the bye week came for them at a perfect time. You don't usually get a bye week at the beginning of December, but they got a chance to sort of take the car off of the mount and run it around for a while, then put it up and monkey with it and make some changes and come together. And from the moment of that second half against Kansas City, when they almost came back to win that game, they haven't lost, including all the way to yesterday. And that was Tom Brady's influence on the culture there. And that can't be measured. And I don't know what they're paying him for next year. Is it a two-year deal that he even has?
It's a two-year deal for... Yeah. I read back...
Whatever it is, it's a bargain.
It's 2 years for $50 million, okay? And we all laughed at when he said he's going to play till 45. He may now play until he's 45 and beyond. If you watched him last night and you didn't know what year it was, you wouldn't have known what year it was. Okay, he could never run. Okay, yeah, I love this idea that, oh yes, he's won all these games and he's put up a career that gives off a beam of light when you look at the whole thing. But he, you know, he can't move around like Mahomes. Or he can't move around like Aaron Rodgers. Okay, who says that is the definition of greatness for a quarterback? Okay, you would not have known you were watching a 43-year-old man play football last night. If you do it, he can still throw the deep ball. Okay, he's still incredibly accurate. He sees the field as as well as anybody to have ever played this game. And again, you Jack Nicklaus was 46 when he won his last Masters. He's a golfer. Brady's standing in the pocket and people are trying to hit him. Kareem played okay after he was past his 40th birthday. There have been hockey players who played, you know, were still playing at a fairly high level.
Chara's
but nothing,
still playing.
Huh?
Yeah, Chara's still playing now. He's 44. Three.
Yeah, I don't care. But
I'm just supporting your
But
thesis.
This, what he's doing, what he's done, it's beyond belief. And we talked about this, guys, the other day. You could carve his career into thirds, and he's a Hall of Famer in each third of his career.
Here are guys who are making more money than him right now on his contract in the NFL. Derek Carr, Matthew Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Russell Wilson. All those guys make more than $25 million a year on their contract. And they got him for another season at $25 million.
But you have to admit, that looked like a pretty good deal for a guy who was going to be 43.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what's he worth? You know, what's he really worth? You change a culture and win a Super Bowl. He's a $50 million worth to a franchise if you knew he was going to do that, and he's playing for half that. So I'm not crying the blues. He's doing fine.
Bobby, it's amazing to me, because I've written a couple of Brady columns now over the past couple of weeks. It's amazing that if he's not on your team, how much people still don't like this guy, that they root against this guy.
There's a couple of reasons. One is that people, you know, number two or three. One, there is a natural polarization about teams that win a lot, whether it's the Yankees or in the old days, the Cowboys when they actually do those kind of things. The Celtics, you know, historically, that's just part of the sports deal. So, you know, that people lining up to hate the completely victorious team, A. B, he's framed as a pretty boy, you know, that's all. Pretty white boy, married the supermodel. This is the part of the narration that just makes this utterly fictional, you know, that he gets paid a lot less than his wife. And let's get that straight, you know, and everybody knows it, that she's more famous in the world than he is. Okay. And I mean, outside these continental United States. Okay. And so people hold that against them. And then there's the TB12 thing, which I'm holding against them, you know. So, you know, the huckster that he has become away from the football field. So there's lots of reasons why people can find to dislike Tom Brady, as long as they don't carry it too far. Oh, and then the cheating thing. It's already, that's out there, you know, on the Twitters today. He cheated, you know. Yeah, don't get me started on the Deflategate. Oh, my God, please don't. You don't want to hear that. So there's reasons, Mike. That's why.
Well, I think you could say that for almost everybody who has been around for a while. Aaron Rodgers clearly has his distractors. Well, not like this, because nobody wins like this.
I just gave you reasons
that don't
apply
to
anybody. But there's none of this.
Okay, I'll give you one right now. I'll give you one right now. If you let me say it, I'll give you one right now. LeBron James, exactly the same. There's as many people who want LeBron James to lose every time he gets in a finals as there are for Tom Brady.
They're holding
Ryan, when you're Ryan, that when way, you're that good
that's
consistently.
A good one. That's
know,
a good win.
By the way, Ryan, you did a case closed on Twitter. This is not a case closed. It's not remotely a case closed. I have stated my respect and my love for William Felton Russell. Okay, the idea that what he did when he did it establishes him as the GOAT of all GOATs. No, it does not. It does not. Right. Joe DiMaggio, Bob, Joe DiMaggio played in 10 World Series. How many did the Yankees win? Oh, wait, I know. 9 of him. Do you think Joe DiMaggio is the GOAT of all GOATs? No, it is more. It is more than simply the number of titles you have accumulated.
Each sport, obviously, Michael, has its different dynamics. This is a very good topic for another day because
case
it cannot
closed.
Be done.
It's
it
not
cannot
case
be.
Closed.
Well, I'm just going. I want to run one thing by me, and I'm going to then say case closed. In a 14-year, 16-year period, the man competed for 16 available titles. 16 available titles in a period from 1955 to 1969. his teams just happened to win 14 of them, and in one of the 15th, he was hurt, and everybody outside of the St. Louis knows the Celtics would have won that year if Russell hadn't been hurt. That would have been 15 out of 16. Nobody else can even come close to that kind of thing. And by the way, he's the only guy that was there in the beginning when they started winning with the Celtics, and at the end, including the coach who left. And who was the coach in his last three? Oh, it was him.
Bob.
I'm
Bob.
Sorry.
You can be sorry all you want, Bob. I'm telling you that in this particular conversation, it is more than simply the number of titles you win. And I'm sorry that you can't compare the NBA of the 50s and 60s with professional football at this time, at that position, over 21 seasons. So the idea that Bill Russell won this, and I've got your tweet in front of me. Thank you for restating it, okay? I'm just telling you, that doesn't make Russell, that doesn't give him the title because you say it does.
Fine. All right. Well, you know what?
It is a debate for another day. It's a great one, and let's save it. I want to shift gears here now because we can't get through this podcast without taking a look at the team that lost. But first, before we do, a word from our good friends at American Giant. Hey, friends, more doesn't always mean better. Today, we buy 2.5 times more clothes than we used to. Not only that, we haven't worn over 80% of the clothing in our closet in the last 12 months. We buy more than we need. Because, well, it's cheap and disposable. But American Giant wants to change that. They make quality clothes here in the USA that are wearable for years, so you get what you want, not a bunch of cheap clothes you don't need and you'll toss out. I've gotten the hoodie and their t-shirts, and I can tell the minute I put it on, okay, this is a keeper. I'm going to be having this for years to come. You can tell the quality of the craftsmanship, the quality. You know when you have a cheap hoodie on or a cheap t-shirt on, you say, I'll probably get 2 wears out of this and then I'll put it in the dryer and that'll be the end of it. Not so for the clothes from American Giant. And it feels good knowing American Giant's supply chain is 100% in the USA. They support hardworking people and local communities by making products that last. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. That's 15% off when you use the code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. Last podcast, we brought up at some point the historic fact that history was against Kansas City because you just don't repeat in the Super Bowl. And we all said, well, but, you know, this is a great team.
No, we did cite the Seahawks. We cited the Seahawks.
We cited other teams that were not the same. And now the question becomes, what happens to this Kansas City team? The early money already this morning is they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl next year, not the Bucs. The Bucs are third, I think. Not that that means anything. But is there a danger of... I mean, they were undressed. They didn't lose a close one, and hey, we've been living on the edge all year long, and this time we just got a little too close and fell in the water. They were smoked. This was a Super Bowl from the old days when Denver was losing, 52 to 10, and all the Super Bowls just tilted. Remember, we went to so many of them. I remember having conversations with you guys on the Sports Reporters about this. Always seems to happen in the Super Bowl. One team kind of pulls ahead, and then it becomes a landslide, and next thing you know, it's a terrible game, and the second half is garbage time. Well, that almost happened here. I wouldn't quite call the whole second half garbage time, but it was pretty much over when they got to 28. And so what happens now to Kansas City? What happened to Patrick Mahomes and Reed and all that? Are they in any danger of sort of having peaked?
Mitch, we're going to find out whether they really can be what we thought they might be, which is a budding dynasty, or if they're going to go into the Seattle Seahawks. And again, the Seahawks didn't get thrown down a flight of stairs. They lost one of the most improbable games in the history of the big game. But they, Mitch, I had the same thought. They have been wounded now, okay? And I'm not saying that everybody has the talent to play the kind of defense that Todd Bowles schemed last night, okay? It's a copycat league. Now we'll see what happens in the regular season. But, you know, so much of sports always goes back to Mike Tyson's wisdom. Everybody's got a plan till they get hit, okay? They had a long-range plan. They had a short-range plan. The short-range plan was they're going to win another Super Bowl. The long-range plan was they're going to win a lot of Super Bowls. Mitch, you're 100% right. Now we'll see.
So, you know, we touched upon earlier the offensive line situation. You can never discount. I think that I get so tired when people say injuries are part of the game. These are reasons why you lose often, not excuses. And so they did not come in with their full arsenal. So if they can get back next year in the big games with their closer to their full arsenal, you know, maybe that would be the difference. I'm just throwing it out there.
Kelsey, Hill, Mahomes, all those guys are locked up. They're not free agents. They have a long list of free agents I'm looking at here. They're good players for them. I mean, from Breland to DeMarcus Robinson, Sammy Watkins, Mike Remmers, the tackle, Sherman, Kilgore, Mike Pennell, the tackle, Antonio Hamilton, some of the bit players, Le'Veon Bell, Tackle Charlton, Darrell Williams, the running back. They got a lot of guys who are either total unrestricted free agents or restricted. I don't know what their salary situation is, but and their cap. But their stars are there, and they're their offensive stars anyhow, and their offensive stars will have to come back. Obviously, I think they do need to get better defensively. I thought it was interesting that the defensive play of the game actually belonged to Kansas City, which was the two times stopping them at basically the 1 yard line from going in. People forget that in the first half, that game would have been over likely in the first half if the lineman, I forget his name, had held the ball that hit him in the helmet, or two times if the running back had managed to get into the end zone instead of getting stopped up. But short of that, I mean, Kansas City probably, in order to improve, has to, their offense is fine. They probably have to tighten up their defense and play differently. But I just wonder, Mike, I mean, it's a good question. We won't know it for a year. But if they come out of the gate and stumble a little bit next year and start to, point some fingers and things, we have seen it happen. That's all we want to say, folks, is I know if you're young and you're listening to the podcast, you go, are you kidding me? It's the Kansas City Chiefs. We've seen great teams. The Atlanta Falcons look like a great team. They were just loaded with.
Yeah,
you want to talk about offensive weapons?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh my God! Back. How could you hold them back? And they just let one get away. Where they were winning by so much, and of course they'll come back because they'll be motivated. They've been a shell of themselves ever since. Seattle, other teams. So, time will tell.
Yeah, you simply don't know, but the record is there over the last quarter century. I think the only losing Super Bowl team since the Buffalo Bills to come back was the Patriots a few years ago. Okay, so it very rarely happens. And there's two other things that we haven't gotten to yet. We haven't talked enough about Todd Bowles. So I saw a coach 4 years with the Jets, and it just did not work out as a head coach. But look at what he just did. Look at who his defense just took down. I know. Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Okay, we're talking about the MVPs that they took out. And I saw this quote this morning, and he made it sound simple. Listen to this. The biggest thing was trying to take away the first read, Bowles said. If you take away the first read, Mahomes has to got to drift and hold it, and that's a dangerous thing because he can run and he can make plays with his feet, but we didn't want him sitting in the pocket just zinging dimes on us all day either. So the D-line got some pressure on him. He makes it sound like, routine. Right. And was making him run and making him, wait for this one, a little bit uncomfortable. Mitch, that's like being a little bit uncomfortable standing on the train tracks watching the train. Yeah, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable right now. And I thought that was the key for us. Now, and when you see it like that, he makes it sound simple, but it was the Chiefs. It was Patrick Mahomes he did it to.
You hit upon something, Mike, that we needs to be stressed in all this talk about head coaching and vacancies, is that the good lieutenant who maybe not is suited to be a general. I think that Todd Bowles is Exhibit A, and
I think
he's
he
back
got one
doing,
interview this year, Bob. I think he got one.
Yeah, well, there might be.
And Brian Leftwich didn't get any. I don't think.
Oh no, but I'm just. But they all deserve interviews. I'm just saying. But It just
well, I think I know where you're going, and I agree with you. Sometimes you can just be great at what you're doing. It doesn't mean that therefore you have to be great at the next step that you take. Sometimes true in all of the world.
Coaching is a CEO job. It is not. Right. It's not a department head, right? And it's and the qualities are different. They're not necessarily transferable. You need to interview people. You need to give people chances to find out. The Jets gave him a fair chance, I think.
No, he got 4 years, Bobby.
Yeah,
and
look at this. Now we're singing his praises, doing what he damn well does best, and he should be very, very proud of himself. I know he's disappointed, and he probably still thinks he should be a head coach, and maybe someone will give him that second opportunity.
But it might still be now that guys in their 60s are coaching against each other in the big game. And Mitch, you know, with the assistant coaches, not everybody can get a Dan Campbell. You know, not everybody, Mitch, can find Mitch. Not everybody can find that diamond in the rough.
Or like I wrote in my column today. So all you got to do is just get an older veteran quarterback and put him. Oh wait, we just got rid of ours. Oh yeah, okay.
Hey, can I throw something else in, guys? I think it's fun to think about for a second. There was a long period of time in which Brady and Manning was the discussion. Brady, Manning, Manning, Brady. Brady, Manning, Manning, Brady. Okay. This weekend, the ultimate one-upsmanship has taken place, because on the weekend in which Peyton Manning achieves the highest honor that a player gets, selection to the Hall of Fame, nobody is talking about it. Nobody, most people aren't even aware that it took place, and Brady is once again the center of that attention. I'm wondering, you know, Peyton's a good, you know, what is Peyton Manning thinking about? Seriously, wouldn't you love to know?
Well, he's gotten used to that by now.
But when he makes a speech,
hopefully he, you know, I always think that the speeches at Canton are bigger story than the selection. Selection is, you know, like a agate, you know, guess who got selected. And then when you have the moment where they make the big speech and the crying and the thanking, but that's what gets more attention. And it also happens at a time when they're not. You know, you're not playing against a Super Bowl. This always happens. Every year, you got a Super Bowl when we make the announcements of the Hall of Fame. So,
oh, yeah, I know. But you know, I'm just saying, in this particular instance, you know, this.
I have a question for you guys that is a little out of place, but we're talking Super Bowl here, and we didn't do it when we talked about the game, but I do think that our listeners would want to know. Do we feel in the first half that the penalties that cost Kansas City dearly were legitimate penalties, and they just made the terrible mistakes. Eight penalties, 95 yards, the most that any. I mean, it blew away records of teams past, and literally it was more yards than Patrick Mahomes had passing at that point. He had 67 yards passing, 95 yards in penalties. What do we think about that?
I thought some of them were sketchy. And Mitch, I'm glad we got to this, okay? It's hard to go back in a game that turned out to be that kind of beat down to say, oh, the Zebras affected the game. The Zebras affected the game, okay? And we can go, you know, the one where they lined up offsides. I always wonder why they don't just throw the flag before the ball is snapped, okay? If those guys on the edges are offside, tell us then, okay? Don't tell us after the field goal has been kicked. The ball to Evans, you know, there has to be some spirit of the law thing where if the ball doesn't get anywhere near the guy, how can holding come into play? And I thought the pass interference against Mathieu in the end zone, I thought that there was contact there from both sides. And when that interception got taken away because of a hold 20 yards down the field, that was a huge moment in my opinion in that game. And it goes into Ryan's thing about refs. Why are you there? Why are you there? Because for about 20 minutes in real time last night, it wasn't Patrick Mahomes. It wasn't Tom Brady. It wasn't the Bucs defense. The story of that game was the Zebras.
The pass that was overthrown by 5 yards.
Yes, that one too, Bobby.
That's the one that drives me. Because if that isn't uncatchable, and therefore who gives a damn about anything that happened elsewhere, then what is?
The argument is that he tripped him, and you don't know if he could have laid out and at least gotten his hands on it. You know, he's a fast. That was Evans, and Evans
that guy tripped himself, Mitch. The defender just simply fell down. He fell down.
That's a horrible call.
And when they said, I know the announcer said if he had laid out, well, he could have laid out all day long, and he wasn't going to catch that ball.
Well, it certainly changed the tenor of the game, especially when they went from a field goal to a touchdown. And there were it was that whole stretch, losing the interception, offsides on a field goal that wouldn't have felt so out of reach, turn it around and end up with a 17-yard touchdown from Brady to Gronk instead. That was the turning point of the actual game, and it was turned because of penalties. Now, you can say penalties thrown or penalties committed. Depends probably on who you're rooting for. But the referees definitely got involved with the game in the first half. Not so much in the second half, but by that point, kind of the die was cast. But that whole stretch in the second quarter, that was where the game was decided and ultimately, in my view, lost by Kansas City. Even though they had... Now, I mean, you can make the argument, guys, that even with that, we've seen Kansas City come back from situations like that. You know, it wouldn't have been unheard of to go in, what was it, 21-6 at halftime, and for them to win the game. So there was the whole second half that they just crapped the bed. I mean, they looked worse in the second half than they did in the first half. But they just did more of the same to them. So you can't take that away in any sense from Tampa. You can't say, well, if not for those, they would have won. I just thought the game turned in the second quarter.
Hey, by the way, what did Brady say to the Honey Badger? Will we ever know?
I don't know.
What did the Honey Badger say to him? Okay, but no, he says he was responding. Okay, this is not gospel, but this is the kid's version. Okay, this is on Twitter. He called me something I won't repeat, but yeah, I'll let all the media throw me under the bus as if I did something or said something to him. Go back to my previous games against TB12. I showed him nothing but respect. Look at my interviews about him. I show grace. And his point was that Brady sought him out, okay, before all the finger wagging. Because I thought the Chiefs were generally acting like meatheads at that point, okay? But maybe there was... Because you know, Tom Brady can hard-chirp people, Bob. You know, Larry Bird could hard-chirp people. Michael could hard-chirp people. But that, to me, was an interesting subplot to this game last night.
I'm not buying that. If you're Tom Brady and you've been in enough of these games to know, you don't want to tick off a safety, especially an all-pro safety, and try to get him. Matthew was in his face multiple times. It was caught on camera. And Matthew wagged the finger at him and went over and found him. He can tweet all he wants. You can watch it on the tape. What they said to one another, I don't know. But in terms of like who started it, I really don't think Brady crossed the field to go yell at Tyrann Mathieu. There's no evidence of that. It's not the way that he behaves. It's not smart football because you don't want to wake sleeping giants. He's a great player and he's a great interceptor. I think he got frustrated. I think he thought he had an interception and it got taken away and he lost his cool multiple times and he got penalties called on him. And when that happens, you often mouth off. But there's, I'm not, just because somebody tweeted something doesn't mean anything.
There's one more guy I want to talk about, and before we even get to our parting shots. But first, we remind you that we're brought to you by our friends at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or rental's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. You got it. We got to bring up Gronk and the whole arc of it, of the career and the retirement, which I applauded and said, oh, good for him. You know, he's not going to risk permanent injury. He's had three back operations. He sits out, wherever he was a year ago, throwing parties at the Super Bowl, and then to come back and have the kind of ending that he had this year, it itself is another semi-fictional story that for Gronk. And I got it. He's hard not to like. I'm happy for him.
Well, yeah. Plus, didn't you kind of get the feeling that with Gronk and with Brown, they were sort of saving them like Christmas presents that you don't open until the very end. And then well, they were only barely like used, up to the season. He had to have more catches in the Super Bowl than he had in any game or probably all the last six games combined.
Yeah.
Six catches, 67 yards, and two touchdowns.
Twice or two or three. Well, yeah, right. And he catches six.
He had one catch against the Packers and one catch against the Saints. And so I watched him, and I said, the guy's fresh. You know, the last time we saw Rob Gronkowski, he looked like a clanking a transformer. He looked like he was about to go down. He was so hurt. Even his walking looked bad. And here he was running around, and there's Antonio Brown curling into the end zone and catching a touchdown. They just saved the veteran guys for last. Who did he? You know, Evans and Godwin really weren't factors in this game.
No.
You know, very much. It was that one pass to one long one, but that was it. So, and then Gronk's only 31. So, you know, he just took so much punishment before.
Oh,
says he's coming back too.
Yeah, he was a very old 29, but boy, that year off did him a lot of good.
The greatest quarterback of all time, thrown to the greatest tight end of all time. And by the way, I just before we put Honey Badger and Brady, there's somebody I urge you to follow on Twitter named John Boy, okay, who's the best lip reader. He does the best job reading lips. He's got a lot of followers. And I just looked at this replay, Mitch, and yes, there were moments in this thing that Honey Badger instigated, but Brady ran about 30 yards, and this is what he told him, okay? Brady tells him he's going to go at him all game. Then he goes at him all game, then lets him know afterwards he went at him. So to me, that was such an interesting subplot to this football game last night. Yeah.
Oops. And hats off also to talk about a guy who retired. We haven't mentioned Bruce Arians here, but he's another guy who came out of retirement to join the Tampa Bay Bucks. And you know, that's not an easy thing to do, to coach Tom Brady. Just go talk to Bill Belichick. And somehow he managed to, by the end of the season, not only coach Tom Brady, but every player on that team, when I watched the interviews during the week, talked about B.A., B.A., B.A. We want to win this for B.A. And true to form, you know, he said last night on the podium, I didn't do a damn thing. I didn't do a damn thing. And that may be why they like him. But, you know, hats off to a 68-year-old coach who comes out of retirement. And he didn't know he was getting Brady when he came out of retirement. He didn't come out because Tom Brady called him. Yeah, he coached the 7-9 team. So, you know, good for him.
No. The last line belongs to him on this whole event before we get to parting shots, Mitch and Bob. No risk it, no biscuit. The wisdom of the sensei, Bruce Arians.
This week's
no risk
parting
it,
shots
no biscuit.
Are brought to you by American Giant. American Giant makes clothing that's durable and made to last. Try it on for yourself. You'll feel the difference. Get 15% off your first order when you use the promo code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. Once again, that's 15% off when you use the code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. Time for our parting shots, and Mike Lupica lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
I was standing with my old friend Ilie Nastase one night at the U.S. Open of 91 when Jimmy Connors was the one making a run to the semifinals and doing something he wasn't supposed to do at his age. It was the second week and Connors was once again making tennis make a sound for him it really couldn't make. And next to me, Nastase quietly said, "Jimmy has what we all want." Then he paused slightly and said, "One more time." That's what Tom Brady got in Tampa last night. He got one more time. That is what this season has been for Brady. He got the one more time that Joe Montana nearly had with the Chiefs and didn't. The one more time that Brett Favre nearly had with the Vikings. Brady will be 44 years old when next season starts. And you know what he'll be thinking about then? One more time.
Tony Trabert died last week, and it deserved a lot more attention. He was an all-time American tennis great, a man who in 1955 won the French, Wimbledon, and U.S. Open while getting to the semis at the Australian. He won 5 majors himself and 5 as a doubles partner. He anchored a successful Davis Cup team in 1954, one of our only 2 victories over the mighty Aussies in the 50s. Those were the days of strict amateur tennis, of course, and he had to turn pro to make a living in 1956. He was a longtime broadcaster in both tennis and golf. He was a Davis Cup captain. He was the president of the Tennis Hall of Fame. But my favorite factoid about Tony Trabert was that he was also a starting guard for a University of Cincinnati NIT team when the NIT was equally important, maybe even more so than the NCAA. I've got a very soft spot in my heart for good old-fashioned multi-sport athletes. Tony Trabert was 91.
From a COVID-19 finger-wagging perspective, there was plenty to be critical of during Sunday night's Super Bowl. players celebrated without masks. Fans were awfully close together. People commented on the proximity of the halftime show dancers. And all that may be true. But from a national mental perspective, the Super Bowl may have been a healthy boost. Here was one American tradition that wasn't altered or canceled or whittled down until it didn't even resemble itself. It looked like a big game. It had the accoutrements and the commercials of a big game. And for a few hours on a Sunday night, many Americans did what they usually do. Gathered with their families, ate junk, and rooted. Sure, those families and gatherings were smaller than usual, maybe tragically so. But after Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's were reduced to the forms of unrecognizable events, it felt nice to sit back with one indoor tradition and, for a night anyhow, remember a more relaxed time. In some way, that had to be healthy, even if there were too few masks for the CDC's liking. That's going to wrap things up for today's program. We do this twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, which means we'll be back in a few days with another edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast. If you like what you heard, leave us a rating, leave us a comment. We always appreciate both of those. Tell your friends who always enjoyed the Sports Reporters on Sunday mornings on ESPN. They can find us in podcast land on Stitcher, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, any of the popular podcast platforms. Until we see you in a few days, on behalf of Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan, this is Mitch Albom saying have a great week.